Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the instant match reaction.
So oh, it started like that, Ashley.
It was Midtjylland 1, Liverpool 1. And in a game that we talked about being a dead rubber, a lot of us were just thinking, I'll just get through this and it'll be what it'll be. And, you know, put a bunch of kids out, see if we can get back what's his face to manage it and all this kind of stuff. I really invested in that game of football. I think it was the first half was a really entertaining game of footy, and then the second half was a VAR shit show. So modern footy, la.
Yippee, kaya, you motherfucker. Yeah, you're right.
I think they got the adverts. Quit.
Sorry, yeah, you don't have to get past the first 15 seconds. And the bot won't recognise it. Anyway, you're right, the first half was really good and I was really invested in it. I wasn't as heavily invested in the second half because Liverpool weren't playing as well, mm-hmm. and because of the VAR shit show, the aforementioned VAR shit show. And I think, to be fair, before I said that, you'd said shit show.
F's considered a stronger word.
Oh,
if you look
it,
at
yeah.
it, if you look at how it's broken down. Hi, YouTube moderator, because I'm going to make you check it anyway. Go on, what are you saying?
I'd finished what I was saying, to be honest.
What did you say?
What did I say? You don't remember? You weren't listening?
Wasn't listening.
I'm going by for time, trying to think what I was saying. Now, we were much better.
The VAR stuff, it's another game where it's been dominated by... I was saying on the family actions earlier, I'm not embroiled in it, because again, it's not a game that matters, but... It will one day again. It'll be soon again, like the Brighton one. It'll be a game that does matter.
Why?
Because VAR is crap, and the whole experience of VAR is crap.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the performance from a VAR perspective. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
terribly done.
Yeah,
terribly done.
Jürgen was asked post match about it, and he basically said, "I was one of the ones who wanted VAR in, but now I'm like,
I couldn't say that now. I think
yeah, exactly. You know, and he said like, it's cold. And you've got players, and I was thinking about this. It's like a 5 minute stop where the players just stood around, and we're talking about a season of muscle injuries and all this kind of stuff. It's just crap. And it goes back to the point again of all of those VAR decisions took too long, whether they're right or not. And this is why I get more annoyed about this, because I'm seeing loads of people going, but they got it right. I'm like, I know, because it hits Mane's hands. That apparently they showed us, eventually showed us a line for their penalty, that the guy was onside, because we were in the dark. I mean, that's another of the major problems. We were told it was offside.
But so when did that line come up?
Yeah, exactly. Like 20 minutes later.
Wait,
exactly.
So they guessed. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, no,
they guessed at the time.
What they're trying to show is that it's there to make us lead to believe that they did look at it and check first. They checked that it wasn't offside. I don't believe that, because given how long it took them to make every other decision, why weren't they showing us go through the process of that? So all of that, but again, it goes down to the point. If it's taking you 5 minutes to make the decision, it's not a clear and obvious mistake that the referee has made.
Another, it can't be on offside, though.
But whatever. But the point is, on this wider situation, what is the fucking point? You just get on. Just fucking get on with the game. You could have had, it only takes a minute to score a goal. There could have been three or four more goals that happen in the time that's done. It just crack on. It's the implementation of it's crap. the management of it is crap. The way it's packaged, crap. The way they're telling us about how it's happening, crap. And we're not even in the ground, by the way. When we're in the ground, I'm not sure VAR survives the season if we get fans back in numbers, back in the ground, because people already think it's crap. And if you've then got the vociferous voices of people returning to it and having that joyous experience of being back into a football ground ruined because you stood around with no idea what's going on,
people kick off. Like, footy for so long, Paul, is about the product, isn't it? And they don't generally do things that harm the product. VAR, whether they get decisions right or wrong, has harmed what they are selling.
I think it's because they've. It's like I've said this about a number of things. We've been getting closer and closer every year to a world where people try to gauge public opinion from social media, and they think that's real public opinion. Well, it's not. It's the worst of public opinion more often than not. It's home to niche views blown large on the wall, and I think they felt that the product was being damaged because calls weren't being made accurately. And I think that's the kind of decision that gets made by people. They always talk about I always refer to this, but like there's it's tangential. People working for the games company and one of the biggest game companies in the 90s, and said the worst thing that ever happened was letting non-creative people into creative conversations, and that's where things like that happen. When people who have no joy or love or passion for the game go, I can solve the problems of football. Here's a spreadsheet, and here's boxes and numbers, and here's a way to make it.
Angles.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, it's a shame because it taints the night a bit, when really we should be sat here, and we will. We'll do it now because let's not get lost in bar. We'll do the final word. I'm sure it'll come up again tomorrow. I thought that Leighton Clarkson, 90 minutes for a 19-year-old lad making his debut in the middle of the park, that's a bloody good debut performance as far as I'm concerned.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought he did really well. So I'll caveat that with, I think he did much better first half than second.
I think the whole performance.
Well, exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, the midfield was so much better first half. The attack was so much better first half. And, you know, for me, you know, the second half woes, and maybe people out there will disagree with me on this, it wasn't because Kometio went in the back. Mm-hmm. It was Midtjylland changed it and started to really put their focus onto Kometio and Reece Williams. And I actually, bringing it back to Clarkson, don't think he did a good job of those second balls.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect him to do a good job of those second balls, mm-hmm. because it's a type of game that he probably hasn't been involved in and probably wasn't expecting. But first half, when we had the ball, sound. Yeah. Absolutely sound. And he'll grow from that. And in 3 years' time, when he's ready for the first team, if he's ready for the first team, he'll look back on that as a good experience for him.
It's this time last year, you know, Kurt Jones had played a couple of games for us, handful of cup games and whatever for us. You know, he certainly wasn't starting in Champions League games.
Now we're resting for them.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But that's the point about Clarkson, is again, a number of these lads, we'll see. We'll either be looking back, we'll be looking back as Liverpool fans on this performance by Leighton Clarkson and by Kometio and the few from Reece Williams as like the way we look back on, you know, they get those footage of Gerrard coming in to the side, making his debut and all those kind of things as the start of something, or he and they will be looking back on it as how they kicked on a quite a promising football career elsewhere.
Yeah,
but this is where it starts.
You think about Trent, Old Trafford, you know, and then the improvement from then to now, mm-hmm. you know, and if you just look at that one game where he comes in and he has a bit of a struggle, but he does all right in it, and then, you know, defensively not the best over the next few months and stuff, it's something to look back and go, look how much better he's got as well. Mm-hmm. And Clarkson will be a performance where I think, you know, I did the play ratings, I'd probably give him a 7 or 8 out of 10, Clarkson. Mm-hmm. I think he was good and that. And then in the years gone by, you go, wow, how much has he improved there?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Because there's a player there. Yeah. There's definitely a player there who's got that eye for a pass.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking for those balls over the top and he was able to do it. Technically, he's got everything.
Mm-hmm. And as well, you know, let's not forget, you know, in the penalty situation that, you know, ends up arising, he's back, he's covering, he's clearing off the line, which is very smart.
He's
filling
that left back then.
Exactly. On your point earlier, I think the second half, I've seen a lot of people go, second half, we were crap.
Yeah,
but second half, Midtjylland were really good. Like, they actually, if you look at the balance of the game, we started brilliant. We get the early goal, and then we're just having a laugh. We're just playing fun, entertaining football. They have the chance cleared off the line by Fabinho. And look, as much as it's, this is not Kometio's fault. Kometio's making, again, he's making his debut for Liverpool. He's been injured all season. So he's not even played a lot of footy. He's come back into the under 23s. He's had 45 minutes at the weekend. He's coming to this. He's not ready to step in and be ready made for what we do. Everyone's raving over Reece Williams, generally speaking. He's been playing alongside someone the entire time. We haven't chucked him in alongside. We didn't chuck him in alongside Seb Vandenberg in the Champions League against Ajax and hoped that he was all right.
Yeah.
But what it did was Fabinho was so good, and we took our best defender off the pitch at a time when they had the better of the second at the end of the first half, and then they went for it. They had nothing to lose, so they threw men forward. They threw more caution to the wind, and we had to defend. And unfortunately, when we were then tasked with defending, we had a lad kicking the ball for the first time as a Liverpool senior player, and that couple of minutes in the start of the second half, where Kometio doesn't clear his lines with a couple of headers. That's just emboldens what Midtjylland are doing. It adds uncertainty to what Liverpool are doing. Liverpool can't get a grip on it, and everything subsequently suffers. But I'm not sitting here going to slaughter the young lad at defensive, because it's not all him.
No.
Midtjylland, again, they're the home team. They're the top of their division. Think about what that you will. If you put the full strength Liverpool team out, we absolutely batter them. But we didn't. We had two teenagers playing at centre-half for us against a very experienced team.
And to be fair, there was one really poor header, I think, from Kometio. And I think that's the one where it probably goes onto the bar. The shot goes onto the bar. You think about that clearance before the Schultz disallowed goal. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets in the way of that, right in front of the goalkeeper. Really good defending. He won three or four of his aerial duels. Yeah. Reece Williams won 9 of 10 of his aerial duels. Yeah. These lads were put under major pressure, and that's why I'm saying it's not the centre-backs. Mm-hmm. The midfield needs to step up and own the fact that they weren't getting to the second balls and stuff as well. And just going back onto Clarkson quickly, because I remember it, because I mentioned it just then on the play ratings. His pass completion was only 71%, which is really low for a Liverpool centre midfielder. And again, that's an area that you go, right, brilliant. Somewhere for you to improve, mate. Mm-hmm. That's what you've got to get a little bit better at and stuff like that. And Kometio will be thinking the same coming off that game. He'll be thinking, I should have cleared my lines better. Yeah. Reece Williams will be saying the same about that one where he cleared it from the right side of the 6-yard box across the goal, and they end up getting an opportunity. So there's loads of things where you can look at and go, yeah, they did well, but yeah, there's still loads of room for improvement 100%. There, which is the best type of debut performances.
Yeah, without a doubt. Again, Clarkson's pass completion is low because he's trying to play killer balls. Your pass completion will fall because
we're talking like, I think he played 4 long balls or something like that in the game, because I did look at that as mm-hmm. well, to be fair. So it's not like huge that it makes a massive difference.
Oh yeah, true enough. But what I'm saying is we were playing a counter attacking style, particularly in the first half. So it's not like what was his total passes?
Like 40 odd, something like that.
So for a centre mid for Liverpool to play 40 passes is, I would imagine, is
low,
pretty low.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You know, if we're playing a game where we're just knocking it around the midfield and Joe Allen in it, you know what I mean? Whereas what I liked about it is, I don't think anyone will be asked about his pass completion, because he's brave. in what he's doing. He's actually trying passes that I would have expected him to come in, and I've seen that performance, this performance I'm about to talk about, from countless of these little midfielders. We've got Jordan Rossiters and Cam Brannigans and all these kind of lads who come in. Yeah, who just come in and they play, they're very solid, they play within themselves, they knock the ball around, they let everyone else do all the dirty work. He was dropped into a midfield and was basically left to play his game. Very, very, very encouraging. I want to talk to Taki Minamino just briefly before we go, because I've seen he's in danger. I think we mentioned this on the build-up show. Divock Origi's going to move on and Taki Minamino is going to fill that slot. In fact, Lallana moved on and now Divock Origi's filled the Lallana role and Minamino will fill it when Origi goes. Of the lad that everyone just goes, oh, he's not good enough. There's always one, and I think it falls into a psyche of a certain group of fans, and that's not always the same fan over and over again, but everyone seems to have them, and I'm sure we've all got them to some degree, of like, you can't see, you just don't see what they do right on the pitch.
Yeah.
All they do wrong is just fuel to the fire that you've got burning that says, I've called this lad's not very good. First half, that was... I compare Minamino's midfield performance to his Brighton midfield performance. That was a midfield. He played really well. And I actually think he did okay largely over the game. If he scores the goal, I think we're looking and going, that is a really, really good, solid, promising Minamino performance. As it is, unfortunately, recency bias. He gets chucked on the fire with all the lads who were crap in the second half. And I think it makes him look like wasn't particularly great on the
Yeah, end. I think that's fair. I think he was really, really good first half, like probably 8 out of 10 sort of, if you need to put a number on it, something like that. I think, you know, his work rate was there. He was winning the ball back high up the pitch. He gets that one from the goalkeeper, plays that through ball, gets that cross into Diogo Jota, who works the goalkeeper from close range and stuff like that. It was everywhere. It was an all-action Henderson-style midfield performance, but played it in the Lallana sort of style, as it were. So, brilliant. Second half, the problem was we didn't have the ball.
Yeah,
like and that's—it's very hard to show what you can do on the ball when we don't have the ball.
Yeah,
and we couldn't clear our lines, and we were just hitting and hoping to get further up the pitch. Now, at some point, I think the experienced players have to take a little bit of responsibility for that. You know, the likes of maybe Trent Alexander-Arnold, although mitigating circumstances again, tough 90 minutes under his belt, but a good 90 minutes under his belt. But you wouldn't say, if you were looking for someone to get back into the game, Minamino and Keita aren't the right guys, probably to grab a game by the scruff of the neck, therefore the Henderson introduction. Maybe he struggled a little bit grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, maybe struggled with the players that he's playing with, doesn't play with those lads normally, maybe he's talking through Clarkson through the game, all these types of things. It was a disjointed team, and second half it was a disjointed performance, but first half what we should be really proud of is the way that the team played.
Yeah.
Because they went out there and they played with a purpose, and they put Midtjylland under pressure. Sido, as you say, the top of their league, who were used to winning games of football in their own backyard, and we took the game to them. I've seen that second half performance so many times throughout the years. It's lasted 90 minutes. It didn't this time.
100%. That's a brilliant point. You're right. That was the performance. The second half is the performance I expected. I expected them to be better than us because they're going to be playing a good team. They're well fluid. They know each other. They're at home. They've got nothing to lose. They want to go and give... They've got one last hurrah in this season's Champions League. So go for it and cause us problems. And we're disjointed. We got that mismatched team. The League Cup approach to football, where you've got a combination of lads who are trying to get fit, who are first teamers, who are maybe not going flat out. So you pointed out, like, Trent Alexander-Arnold plays the vast majority in our half. Not a standard Trent performance. And we can surmise it's because he's just getting a game. Costa Tsimikas on the other side, who needs to play he needs to play because he needs to get up to match fitness. That's not going to happen, unfortunately, off the back of that. And then you've got a bunch of kids in between who are just looking to get on the pitch to be able to add to their growing experience as football players. And you're meant to play a bit crap. I've seen that side down the years get knocked out of all different kinds of cup competitions. But as it was, we first half, again, this is a game where my expectations were so low that all the positives that I take from it stack up well higher than what my expectations were of the whole thing. And the fact that on another day, you know, given all the confusion around the VAR and stuff, Liverpool actually could have come away with a win. We beat Ajax with a stronger team than this, with a deflected goal or own goal, whatever it was at the point. this is, we won't remember, we'll think about this game, but hopefully we'll look back on it. The positives are maybe a year from now when we're, you know, like you just referenced, we always go Trent Alexander-Arnold against Man United at Old Trafford. We've said it about 50 times in the last 6 months because we do it. It's now our touchstone for Trent's career. We might well look back on this in a year or 2 years' time when Billy Cometti was a regular for Liverpool or Clarkson's a regular or Reece Williams or et cetera, et cetera. And we'll look back on this game. That's all it really should be. We've met our objectives in the Champions League.
It's like, it takes a lot for a young lad to break into a top side. Obviously, they have to be good. Obviously, they have to be committed. They have to work hard. They have to be strong, physical, technical, everything nowadays. It's not just, you're not just a big lad. You've got to be a footballer now.
They've got to be bad. They've got to be bold. They've got to be wiser.
They've got to be everything, mate. But Cometti and Reece Williams have got it.
Yeah.
Like Klopp was talking about it after the fact, that they're good now.
Yeah.
And that's great. And how proud must those lads be to play in the Champions League and get a draw away from home? What a big experience that is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I lost 3-0 to you on Pro Evo before. I was made up because I didn't lose 8-0.
Yeah.
And they've done a draw in the fucking Champions League and I've just lost 3-0 on Pro Evo.
Yeah, it's all about context really, isn't it? yeah, no, good on them. And again, it boils down to sometimes, I think it's quite easy to jump to hyper-analysis on these kind of games and hold it up like an X-ray up to the light and like put it on, you know, put it under the microscope and compare it like we would to any other thing. You know, like it's...
Because we do.
Yeah, and because it's a game of football.
It's a dead rubber.
Because it's a Liverpool game of football. Yeah. People do this about pre-season games as well. And this wasn't a pre-season game, but it actually had even less meaning than a pre-season game in some regards, because there was no result that was a truly bad result for Liverpool in that regard. To get a draw is fine. Could have got a win, yes. Could we have also lost that game? Yeah, fine. It's done. We'll never really have to think about it, you know. Once we get through our analysis of it, you know, tomorrow and stuff, it'll be done. It'll be a footnote, you know. It'll be a hopefully trivia questions years to come.
Well, it could well be, because it's Trent's first game as captain as well, exactly. Wasn't it? And it might be the question, mightn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to go there with Old Trafford, Hoffenheim and Midtjylland away, and that's why we'll remember that, and that's all it'll be, because again, it was just a game of football Liverpool had to go through the motions of doing, and hopefully it is them. Hopefully when we talk about Arsenal in the League Cup last season, and we talk about MK Dons in the League Cup last season, and we talk about Everton in the FA Cup, and then we talk about the Shrewsbury game and the Aston Villa game, and now we get to look back at it. At the time, we were a bit like, what the you know, what was going on? We weren't thrilling over certain performances in some of those games from some people. And now, yeah, you know, Curtis Jones is off to the races because he's had these games. So, yeah, hopefully it's one of those things.
What's your moment of the match?
I really liked the Taki Minamino first time through ball to Mo Salah.
When he was offside. Mo volleyed it, didn't he?
Yeah, the Naby Keita to Mo Salah to Origi to put wide. I'll tell you what it is, because you've caught me on the hop. It was Gwyneth Keller's punch right near the end when he just went and cleaned the striker out. Fantastic. But my uncle used to say to me, when you come out for crosses, come out and get your knees up, and if you can smash him in the face while you're doing it as well. It wasn't that time, yeah. It was your come back.
Really? Doesn't sound like a marker.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So mine was Defo Clarkson winning his one header.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a belter.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Fucking belter. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Like,
yeah, definitely.
One header in the Champions League, one header won in the Champions League. Yeah, hang up the fucking boots now, Leighton.
I love it. I genuinely love it. Like, it wasn't like... It just came to him, yeah. Brilliant. Right, sound fantastic. Drop a like on the video if you're watching this on YouTube. Leave a 5-star review if you're listening to this on podcasting services. Check out more from us. We'll be back tomorrow with the final word show on the redmentv.com. If you sign up at Club Legend level, over on the website, you also enter our prize draw competitions to win this wonderful signed Jordan Henderson Champions T-shirt that I've got behind me, one of a kind.
I thought that was my birthday present.
Yeah, get in the bin. Yeah, I've got your birthday present. Amazing, by the way.
Is it signed by Jordan Henderson?
Yes.
It's not
at all. Don't set yourself up like that. But yes, thank you so much. Yes, I do.
It's
go
all
and sign
relative,
up.
Mate. Context is everything.
Yeah, definitely. Go and sign up. If you've got more content from us, there's loads of amazing stuff. And we'll be back, if not, with the game on Sunday, Liverpool versus Fulham, live. Watch along commentary. We hope to see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.